Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
By the time Matthew joins us, Mr. Purple Insider, we normally have a weekly theme, you know, something that has taken hold of Viking Nation, and whether it's just the fans, the media, and clearly this week, Matthew, it is Kevin O'Connell, the offense, and what he is presenting to J.J. McCarthy. The idea that on Monday, KOC was given credit by some on the transparency, not as much by me, when the idea is going to try to pull back a little bit, try to simplify the process. And that has continued during the week when KOC has said, yes, of course, he still has to be aware of his fundamentals, but I'm just not going to talk about it over and over again. Then JJ has said it's freeing up my mind has felt so good. What is your read on how this has played out the last 5 days?
Yeah, it's been kind of interesting to see multiple interpretations of commentary, because my interpretation was basically like, all right, I've coached all I can coach here, pal. Figure it out, right? Like, figure it out from here on out. I think that was the only way that I looked at it, but I know that some other people looked at it like, that maybe KOC was wrong for making it too challenging on J.J. McCarthy, was sort of admitting that he was wrong, but I don't really see it that way. I think it's more of a, like, my work here is done. Now, you either have to play quarterback like a grown-up, or you are not going to be our quarterback in the future. Sort of the last frontier of, all right, we'll try to simplify this. We'll try to get out of your head and see if that works. And if it doesn't, then I got nothing else.
I think it's a little bit of both, but I do think that there was a part of him, because he has been associated with success with quarterbacks and thought so highly, as we've discussed and as you've offered consistently in Purple Insider, where there were times even in that rookie training camp where he looked good. And this year he looked good. Just reinforced to KOC that I'm going to try to give him a fair amount early and that he'll be able to just step by step get better. I mean, there's still a part of me thinking when he's saying what he's saying this week, it's like, why couldn't we build more up to this as opposed to throwing you in the deep end right away and you can, you know, you can pick it up like Darnold did and, you know, the guys who he had in Washington and L.A. and clearly Kirk here. So I'm a little bit of that mindset.
I'm less so on that side, and here's why. Because people keep saying that J.J. McCarthy's a rookie, but he's not. He arrived here in 2024, and they had a plan to bring him along slowly, which they implemented through an entire spring and summer of developing him with his feet and eyes and all of those things that he was working on technically. And then he had an entire year behind the scenes to learn the offense. They gave him virtual reality, which I don't know if that company's feeling too great about the results right
yes,
now. But look,
point.
I mean, he was there. He had a headset on, listening to the calls come in and watching Sam Darnold operate them. And then he was healthy and cleared to practice by January and was brought along in rookie minicamp, OTAs, minicamp, training camp, all these things. And I think that he was brought along slowly over a two-year process. And I know that it's nobody's fault that he ended up getting injured. But in terms of actually knowing the offense and needing it dumbed down, as Aaron Jones put it, I mean, it is week 14, man. Like, yeah. I don't even think Cam Ward in Tennessee needs it dumbed down. I think most quarterbacks by week 14 of their rookie year, their true rookie year, feel like they should have the offense pretty well set for making the calls, getting the cadence, throwing to the right places, and not, you know, giving away the football constantly.
Well, then pretty damning about J.J. McCarthy himself?
Yes, that's exactly how I interpreted it. I interpreted it as KOC was basically saying, see what I'm dealing with here? Like, why else would you tell us all that you're simplifying the offense? You don't have to come out and say that. I thought it was a bit of a self-preservation move and a bit of a, like, there's nothing else I can do here, guys. He's either going to, you know, figure this out or he's not going to figure it out. And I also think it was kind of shining a light on what their decision is going to be this offseason. If they dumb down the offense for him and they stop talking about technique so much and he still loses four out of these last five games, doesn't play well, they're going to get another quarterback. And as much as KOC last offseason told everybody in the world that you have to be patient with these guys, I think when you're the actual guy in that hot seat, you start to change your mentality a little bit for giving young quarterbacks forever. But I guess I've gotten a little exhausted of treating J.J. McCarthy like he's 12 and not like he's 22.
But I mean, some of that, okay, let me jump in. Because some of that has come about, I think, from a few of us, because O'Connell's been talking about him like he's like, we're just entering ninth grade on balance, posture, how far apart your legs are. And I get it. I mean, I'm watching Scottie Scheffler right now in this, you know, made up Tiger event, and Scheffler's by far the best golfer in the game, and he still works on fundamentals. But there were times when they talk about it, and you're like, Jesus, are we talking about a sixth grade quarterback or a first round draft show? So let's look at it this way. There are five games left, as you just said. What do you need to see? And more importantly, what do you think O'Connell and Kwesi need to see that's realistic for them to be further convinced to go back to the start of the year, not now because it's very much uncertain now, but to go back to the start of the year when at that time they thought they had the quarterback of the future? What does he need to do?
Yeah, the hard part here is that the next three teams that they face have horrific defenses, and there's always a little bit of that effect of like the September call-up AAA pitchers pitching, and it's like, oh, Brian Dozier hits 20 home runs in September, so he should just hit 40 every year, right? And like, well, that doesn't always work that way. And I think it's the same kind of thing here, is that you can get fooled from, oh, in the last three games, he's completed 62% of his passes. Like, we need to look at the entire thing. And I think that it's already gone past the point where you're talking about competition for next year. I think it just, the panic level on that could be altered over the last, you know, 5 weeks. I mean, if, say, he goes 3-5 and throws 8 touchdowns and 2 picks and looks a lot more confident, I think you're talking about, all right, he is the presumptive starting quarterback going into next year, but there's going to be more than Sam Howell here to compete with him. I mean, if we flip those numbers and it's still the same as it is right now, which is some of the worst quarterback play of the last decade by any young quarterback in their first 6 starts, well, then you're talking about you have to find a different quarterback, just completely not even thinking about him as the starter. And what's most likely is the gray area between, well, he showed some good things, he showed some bad things, and, well, most young quarterbacks, you know, struggle. But this is not a situation like Tennessee and Cam Ward where you could just give him several more years to slowly figure it out. I think the most disturbing thing to me is that O'Connell has thrown up his hands now when it comes to throwing technique. Like, I don't know, I can't fix it, you know, and I'm putting words in his mouth there, but kind of like, I don't know, let's stop talking about it, just figure it out yourself out there. Like, that's, I'm watching Jared Goff and Dak Prescott throw the ball around like in awe last night. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that's right. That's how it's supposed to look in the National Football League. So my confidence is not super high that he could do enough to convince them, oh, yeah, you're the guy, you're our franchise quarterback. But the door is open by the Washington Commanders, who are averaging almost 9 yards per pass allowed this year. They are really, truly that bad on defense.
We'll get to other matters, so just one more question that I'm with you. Let's say it's kind of gray, where he has a few more moments where you think, okay, I can see a little bit of light. But they keep mainly losing, and all of a sudden they have the 13th pick in the draft next year. And I saw some mock the other day where there's maybe three or four quarterbacks in the first round. If he's horrible, then I'm not going to ask this question because then it's an option. But if it's gray, if it's a little bit of good but more uncertain, are you eliminating these guys taking a number one draft choice quarterback next year?
So from a philosophical perspective, I am always on board with drafting a quarterback unless you have Patrick Mahomes. Otherwise, yes. Do it, right? I mean,
look, but a first-round guy is different.
Have to say that, right? But the problem is, if you have a season where you finish 5-12, and the ownership is infuriated with everyone in charge because they have fallen so short, and not only that, Sam Darnold's playing in the playoffs. I don't care what he does in the postseason. You know, he's there, and you're not. That's not going to give anybody time to draft and develop another quarterback, right? I mean, I think that that pretty much goes off the table. But from a bigger picture team building, like, you should always keep drafting quarterbacks. Like, you should do the Josh Rosen to Kyler Murray thing if you truly think that he's not the guy, and just say, all right, well, we tried, draft another one. But I just don't see that as a really viable thing that they could do.
Matthew Collar is here. Purple Insider is a must. If you care about the Vikings, we're back with Matthew Moments on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, goody. It's snowing again. I mean, are we in your town, Buffalo? Is, does something happen? Did you transport us all to Buffalo, New York?
I know what happened. We got away with it last year. We kept the shovels inside, didn't have to shovel a lot of snow, didn't have to get the snowblowers out too much. And as I was enjoying that last year, I knew it. I knew it. Following year, we're going to get hammered. And here we are.
It's happening. Jackson and Darrisaw may play Sunday. Is that where we're at?
That's correct. Both are questionable for the game.
Knowing KOC is questionable, what does that tell you?
Knowing both linemen, I think maybe Jackson has a good chance to play and Darrisaw is more questionable. I mean, okay. I don't want to, when it comes to Darrisaw and the injuries, it's just he went through such a catastrophic knee injury that was clearly worse than a typical ACL. I think that they announced it as an ACL and there was probably a lot more to it than that based on what I've seen from his recovery. At the same time, I mean, it's got to be very frustrating for everybody in the organization when the left tackle, you know, has not been able to play. And I know I get questions about, well, you know, if they had any depth and this and that, I would like you to point to me with your hands all the great backup left tackles in the NFL because the drop-off for him to every other left tackle is absolutely enormous that's going to be a backup. So, but I think it's been really hard, and that's been one of those underlying things that everything has been so much about the quarterback, but a lot of other things have just not clicked this year the way that they needed them to.
So let's talk about something not clicking. If I say for the 2026 Minnesota Vikings, they need four new starters in their secondary. Four. Everybody. Everybody has to leave. Harrison's going to leave. This is it. You say what to me?
Well, I'd say that I have been shocked by Byron Murphy not being the impact player that he was last year or even previously in his career, and I would expect that he would bounce back. Isaiah Rodgers, I think, can play in the league, but he has flaws. And when your team is not scoring any points ever, everyone's flaws look so much worse. Like, Miles Price makes a special teams mistake that happens 10 times a year to somebody, but it's devastating because you're not scoring any points. But I think Rodgers could be on the team. I would be picking a cornerback at the top. I do think Harrison Smith will call it quits. I don't think Theo Jackson has really shown himself to be a starter. So you are talking about probably a safety there. That is one of the easier positions to fill in free agency, probably, where you don't have to spend that much. And it becomes maybe a potential draft pick as well. But I don't disagree with you, which is kind of amazing, though, because the defense is still overall, I think, been really good this season, despite the fact that they've had those weaknesses in the secondary.
This team seemingly has needed to draft a cornerback near the top every single year of their existence.
Not when Zim was here in 2017, where he took Tua. Well, I guess he didn't take Xavier Rhodes, did he? He just developed him.
But developed.
He also took, once Trey Waynes developed a little bit, he turned into a pretty good player.
Yep.
You're right, though. Since those two guys have left, there has not been. I'd be curious to even see if there were back-to-back years with the same two starting outside corners. And there is certainly some question here, I think, that's reasonable about Brian Flores and developing those players, because he does run a complicated system. I mean, last year we saw Shaq Griffin and Stephon Gilmore look pretty darn good because they're veteran players, even if they weren't physically as good. But, you know, there are some other young guys. I'm not saying anyone's become the next Deion Sanders, but Nashawn Wright's made a lot of plays in Chicago. I saw Caleb Evans was playing last week for Carolina. They just haven't really had an eye on development at all. Mekhi Blackman plays for Indy. They went with Jeff Okuda over their younger players, which is, and now Fabian Moreau, who's been in the league forever, over anyone younger. And I guess I do wonder about, even with drafting that position, if that's something that Flores is willing to do, or do you have to always be spending big money on that? Or is Brian Flores going to be the one doing it? Because from Star Tribune reporting, he doesn't have a contract for next year, which is a whole nother layer on this thing.
What does that say to you, by the way?
Well, it says Brian Flores is a really smart guy. I mean, he had to know, right, that if he had a great year this year and things went sideways at the quarterback position, that he could be the highest paid defensive coordinator in NFL history. I don't think anyone's hiring him as head coach because of the lawsuit, which is continuing to go forward and so forth.
When is that going to finish? In like 30 years? I mean, it's been going on forever.
Yeah. I don't want to layer any politicalness into this, but there's a strategy that the president of the United States has used with the courts for a long time that I think the NFL has maybe borrowed, which is to just delay, and hope the other person quits, I think. But that's going on forever. But either way, like, based on his history as well with Miami and Tua and all that. But he is talked about as the trend-setting, brilliant defensive coordinator, and he has earned every bit of that reputation. And I think if you're another team, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, well, I know are cheap and wouldn't do this, but, like, let's just say, if you're the Bengals and you know that Flores is a free agent, I mean, you throw as much money at him as you did Ja'Marr Chase, right, to try to fix that defense without maybe the most money to do it with. I mean, I think Flores was very crafty. He probably also, this is really going too far down the rabbit hole, he probably also knew that there was a chance that this went sideways with the quarterback position.
Ooh,
and that,
that's
you
deep.
Know, he might want to have some freedom.
Yeah, that's deep. Last thing, what's your assessment of the plays that Dallas Turner's been making the last 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, I spent the week out here. I'm at TCO Performance Center right now, talking to people about Dallas Turner, and just had a conversation with Jonathan Grenard. And, you know, he said to me this off season that, you know, that Dallas Turner was taking it very, very seriously, the progress he needed to make. And it just takes time for guys at that position because it's so technical. The tackles are so good. They play against, you know, the best of the best all the time, and that it, you know, just needed development from a very, very young player. And I think we're seeing that now. We're seeing him. What John said to me, Jonathan Grenard, was that he's seen him even after plays, like his celebrations when he makes a play. It's not like, oh, I did something, but like I expected to do something. That confidence is growing with him. And this is who he was supposed to be. But, you know, people sometimes act like he was the number one overall pick or something. Like he wasn't. He was picked 17th. He was a guy that was going to need some time. And I think we're seeing him elevate into at least a starter level type player. And then, you know, I think there's still a lot of room to grow at the old age of 22.
Yeah, that's a reminder they just want to do. I think, you know, there's a combination of a few things, right? Alabama was on TV constantly. The guy was making like seven plays,
yeah,
with other like number one and number two draft choices on the field. That guy was just making play after play, and they gave up a lot, right? And patience and nurturing and just letting people go into it. Those days are over in fan and sometimes media evaluation. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the game. Just remember, that's ASU's own Jaden Daniels. So he won the Heisman for LSU. That doesn't count. ASU nurtured Jaden Daniels.
I'm glad he's playing. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
More fun than maybe Mariota. So thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
Thank you. He's excellent as always, Matthew Caller. Look at this. Right on time for Am I Wrong?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.